and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, with three generations of positive people featuring Real World Dar.
That's me.
Millennial Jen. That's me. And Not So Silent Bob. Nothing, Bob?
A chuckle.
I'm just chuckling because I saw an email that came in that Bob's said they liked the fact that I was silenced.
Bob's checking his email in here. We're like trying to run a radio show, and Bob is checking his email. That's fine, Bob. Okay, you do you. All right, well, we're going to make you laugh. We'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why is it that we can't get a clean introduction?
You know, one day when we're seasoned professionals, we'll
have a producer saying,
hey, stick to the script, y'all. All right. So our next discussion topic actually comes from a listener.
Ooh.
I got a text message from a Mary Fran the other day.
Oh, Mary Fran, Mary Fran.
Mary Fran, Mary Fran.
Oh, no, Mary Fran. Hey, Mary Fran.
And she said, listen to your podcast. You guys did great.
Yay.
Thanks, Mary Fran.
Thanks, Mary Fran.
I do think you could talk about the importance of having your will in order and all other important papers.
Oh, Mary Fran.
And I said,
Fran.
Oh, that sounds really delightful. And she said, oh, I didn't know it had to be an upbeat topic. And I said, you know, that's true. Maybe it doesn't have to be an upbeat topic. Three positive people can talk about wills and important paperwork. Mm-hmm. So,
and I'm Real World Dar, so this is real life.
This is, and actually, for those of you that are interested, Dar was a guest on another podcast, Crushing Lemons, with our friend Ryan.
As well as Jim.
Yes, but when I learned on Dar's episode that she feels pretty strongly about wills, is that correct?
I do.
All right, well then, Dar,
you want me to open?
Do you have your will in order?
I brought my will, and I realized that it's from 2002 and needs to be changed.
Oh.
Yeah, because my mom is the executor, and she's no longer alive. So I do need to fix it, but I have written one. I have thought about end of life. And then I had a procedure, 4 or 5 years ago at Mayo Clinic, and then they require you to do this advanced health care planning.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So to sit down and think about end of life directives was pretty hardcore. So I do have a documentation of what I would like to execute in my, you know, in a home going or a funeral. And I'll read this. It says, it asks about other wishes. I want a celebratory home going with good singing, laughter, and funny stories. And I even identify a really powerful song. And I might play a snippet of it. It's a Kirk Franklin song called The Appeal, and it talks about when I die, what people will say about me, and will the work that I've done be enough to help someone. That's part of the lyrics. So I even wrote down all the way down to one of the songs that I would want played at my celebratory home going.
Mm.
And then recently...
Wow, that's detail.
That's detail. And then recently, I wasn't even sure if I was on the right track with, like, retirement and planning and all that kind of stuff. So I did do a consultation with our TIAA CREF person, and I'm doing good. I wasn't sure. I'm just saving because I know that I need to do that. But
I've got information for you on those two, by the way, because I've been through it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So, yes.
I think it's important to think about that because, you know, from a biblical standpoint, it tells us to, leave a legacy for our children's children. And so really thinking about not only, you know, I think sometimes, especially people that I know in my circle, and I will say, you know, Black folk, if I can say it that way, we don't think about, we just live for, and that's not everybody, that's a generalization, but I think sometimes people just live for the day and they're not concerned about generations that come behind them.
Mm-hmm. No.
And so.
How about when your kids make more money than you ever made?
I think that you could still establish something for your grandchildren as a legacy. It could be a scholarship. It could be, you know, something that, you know, that you would want to just leave for them It could be a video. It could be, you know, something.
Coin collection.
A coin collection, exactly. So some sort of legacy. So I think that it's important when you're thinking about end of life and wills and, you know, how you want to die, that you also think about generations that's coming behind you. So
right, what you're going to leave.
What you're going to leave. Yeah.
When you're gone.
It's part of your legacy. I think it's legacy.
Yes. Okay.
So yes and no, Mary Fran, sort of. It all needs to be updated. I mean, even my beneficiaries on my insurance and stuff, I need to fix all of that kind of stuff. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, very important. And I can I share how that conversation came about?
Sure.
We were talking about, I talked about in the Crushing Lemons podcast, you know, when my mom passed, I was the only child and, you know, having to make those decisions and not really knowing what was important for her. And so that's why I feel like even from the life directive, advanced directives, and medical directives, it's important for your family members to know how you want to die, you know, and what's important for you. And if I'm in a vegetable state, just let me go. You know, that's just my personal opinion. And if you don't have that information, the stress of making those decisions on the behalf of your loved ones is tough.
Right. So if you want to leave your loved ones without the stress and the pressure, it's really nice
write
to
it
have
down.
That. Right, right, right. Yeah. So you're actually doing them a favor, right, by having that all in order.
Yep.
All right, Bob, what do you got for us?
Well, let's see. As far as wills and stuff, mine are all very safe and secure. They're in a firebox up in the someplace in the house.
Yeah,
and where's the key? And where's your savings deposit box? And, your passcode and your dog.
Up in the what? Finish that
so
sentence.
So if the house burns down, supposedly that box is still going to be good. But as far as what's in it, that's another story because I think we still have a will that basically gives my brother guardianship over my 40-something-year-old daughter.
Wow, Bob.
My son, too.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that could be updated a little bit. But I do have a verbal will. I'm good at verbal stuff, right? So
not so silent, not silent Bob. Bob.
So all the kids know that when I go, I'm going to be cremated. Mm-hmm. And I want some of my ashes to be put into an unbreakable metal urn.
Okay.
And I want one for each kid. Mm-hmm. And then I want them to take me wherever they go.
Wow, Bob.
Bob's traveling in the afterlife.
I mean, like in their back pocket or in a pendant or
no,
what?
No, in that urn. And I want
they got to carry it.
And I want a picture on it.
Bob wants to be carried around in an urn with his face
you know,
on
born,
it.
Born, died, stuff like that.
Bob was like, put me on the dashboard so I can see where we're going.
Bob.
Is this a serious,
serious
request?
I really do want this, yes, because I can't, I don't know where I want to be buried. I mean, we've been up here 40-some years. My mom and dad are someplace in the Chicago area. My wife is down in southern Missouri.
Wife is here in Houghton, Bob.
Well,
I mean, born.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. I don't think she wants to be necessarily buried up here either because we're all transplants. So the best thing I can think of is so I'm not forgotten and my gravesite is just there and nothing happens to it and nobody ever even knows it's there.
Right.
Put my ashes in and it has to be unbreakable because my son's a little clumsy. And I figure that he will knock something over, and there my ash will be all over the floor, and then they'll be vacuuming me up.
Wow, Bob.
So, Bob, have you price-checked these unbreakable metal urns? Do you know
well,
what
they can't
on?
Be as high as a coffin.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, if we're going to do some work, maybe we should price-check some of these dreams you've got, Bob.
Oh, Bob.
How heavy are these? We need to do a little research.
What's the song, Take Me With You?
I think it's
a Prince song, I think.
I didn't get enough traveling done when I was alive, so maybe I'm
dead.
Oh,
my goodness.
I was not ready for that.
Yeah, that's awesome, Bob.
Very
thanks,
informative.
Mary Fran. Thanks, you
thanks, Mary Fran.
You needed to know. Well, I'm only 38 over here, and I got to say, like, I have nothing prepared, really, except for this last the pandemic has really made me think, and my mom, you know, having breast cancer and all those things really does have me thinking. But I mean, the thing about wills and important documents is you do need a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want it done well, you need a little bit of money. Yeah. And then you also need to know what you want. And I struggle. I have four young kids. And my youngest is one. She's only one. So that's 17 more years of potential responsibility. And I'm looking around going, who do I trust to raise my babies? And the answer is me. I trust me. I trust my spouse. I go over the list and, you know, like, I just don't know who would want all four of my babies and who I would want to have all four of my babies. So that is a bit of a struggle. And Jeff and I don't have a lot in terms of assets. So it's mostly.
But those are your assets.
Well, right. So I got to figure out where they would go and what we would do. And it changes like constantly. And, you know, Jeff and I traveled for the first time about 10 years ago together. And we had two kids at the time. And we didn't have a will. So I took out a piece of paper. And it wasn't even like nice paper. It was like practice your handwriting preschool paper. And I wrote, if I die, give the kids to my mom. And then I signed it hoping that was somehow legal. So probably
not. Why did you do it at that time? We were
traveling to New York for a job interview, and so it was the first time we'd ever left together, and that idea that something could happen, and
to both
so
of you.
Yeah, when we're both gone together. And so it is something I'm thinking about. It's something we're talking about. Now we're budgeting, like, we gotta
I think that's the main thing that comes up, though, when you have kids, is that's when the will becomes important, because the most valuable thing you have are your kids. And
right.
What happens if something happens to both of you? That's what you're thinking about, too.
Right, yeah. So I still haven't quite answered the question, who gets the kids in that?
And then you got to ask the person if they're willing to do it.
Oh, they will. Whoever, because my kids are amazing, and everybody, like, I think people are standing in line waiting for me to finish that will.
Wow.
But no, so yeah, I don't have any of that in order. And as for important documents, my gosh, I think I maybe have some birth certificates somewhere in my house, and like, I just, you know, I don't have it together. So it's definitely something. But let me say what I want done with my after bits and pieces. I am like Bob. I didn't grow up in this area, and I wouldn't want to be buried here. And you know, all my family's buried out in Utah. So I also want to be cremated. And there are one of two things I'd like to have happen with my ashes. One, I would like to either be a firework, where you put me up in a firework and blow me into the sky. Or,
video
I have that song ready to roll. Or, I want to be made into jewelry. I think it would be really cool to be Carson's cufflinks and Maylee's necklace and Daphne's like bracelet and Xander's, you know, tie clip. I think it would be really cool. Then they'd have to wear me, so they don't have to carry me around in an urn, but they just get to wear me to church or something, you know?
So that's jewelry.
That's where I want to be. I've only seen these things in television
something
shows.
Something sparkly, whatever. Did you notice
whatever
that? Either fireworks,
I want to be
or
fancy.
Jewelry.
I want to be shiny. I want to be seen. So that's where I want to go.
I don't have an opinion about funeral or cremation. I did write in my directive, though, if my body's deteriorated, to cremate me and just put up, like, do a memorial service.
What do you mean if your body deteriorated?
Like, if I'm really like not, I don't look like myself anymore, or if it was a tragic accident.
But if you look good, you're okay with being buried.
If I look good, then go on and put me in a casket. Yeah. Display me. I want to be like they did Aretha. Put me on display. But it's so expensive, though.
So barrier total or whole, if she's looking
good.
Yes,
if I'm looking good, then they can just like, I mean, for my mom, I decided a memorial. And there were family members that had a serious problem, because we are like funeral casket people. And I was the first one to kind of break the mold. And that was like, what's going on? But, you know, for me, it was like, it's a lot of money going in the ground. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, and so
I mean,
wasn't about that.
I grew up as a kid going to visit my grandparents' graves, and it was a family tradition.
I'm surprised that you say that, because I don't think most millennials would say that anymore. I don't think that for me, when I was growing up, I mean, all summer we spent time going to the grave sites of my grandfathers, my grandmothers, and planting flowers. And I remember my brother and I bored, but we would play. And so this is kind of interesting that you did do this.
Well, actually, yesterday, was it yesterday? 2 days ago, a good friend of mine said, hey, you know, you're homeschooling your kids. Let's take them on a field trip. And I said, okay. She said, we're going to the family cemetery. What? And she, yeah, her family owns a cemetery locally. Our friend Shelly, you know Shelly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And her family owns a cemetery up here in this county, and she said, let's ride our four-wheelers, and I'm going to show you the cemetery, and we're going to walk around, and we're going to do cemetery math, and I'm going to tell you what the different markers on the different gravestones mean. And my kids thought it was so cool, because they're not familiar with cemeteries. Right. They haven't grown up going or planting flowers, but they thought it was really cool. And she said, and on Memorial Day, this is what we do, and you guys should join us. So, I mean, I think... it is something I grew up doing, but again, with the way I've lived my life, it doesn't make sense to me to call someplace my eternal home in the ground. So,
do you know what they do when you die up here in the wintertime?
Oh, Bob.
No, Bob. Do you know? I don't.
Oh,
do I want to know?
Am I in a freezer?
They put you in a body barn.
It's a body
and
barn, literally.
You stay frozen until the spring, and then they bury you. As a matter of fact, Michigan Tech owns the body barn, which is now used for organizational or...
Storage.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard people saying that they're kind of afraid to go there at night because they think it might be haunted. It's right next to the SDC.
Very specific. So you can go on a field trip with the kids tomorrow, Jen.
Hey, guys. Who wants to load up in the van, ready to the body barn? Although there would be no bodies because right now you could be buried. This has been such a conversation. Mary Fran, I just want to thank you so much for the last 10 minutes of my life that I will never get back.
Well, listen, though. Can I say one thing before you close out? We have to talk about death.
No, you do. You do.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
And I think that people get so intimidated by it that they just avoid it like it's not going to come.
Right. No, it's inevitable. It absolutely is. And when something like with your mom and her passing and my mom and cancer and and just even every birthday, I don't know, Bob, what makes you... Sorry, Bob, what makes you... I was going to say, Bob, what makes you ponder life and death? I didn't mean Bob,
Your segue was kind of rough, though.
Sometimes we don't. Anyway, Bob, what makes you ponder life and death?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I mean,
well,
I guess
you have 1 minute.
When my mom passed away.
Yeah.
Mm. When people that I love pass away, I mean, that's when you're faced with it, right? Yeah. And I'll tell you a couple quick stories, really quick, about my mom when she passed away. When she stopped breathing at the hospital, at the moment that she stopped breathing, I was listening to what we had on the TV, America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who was singing when she stopped breathing was He Raised Me Up.
Aww.
I couldn't believe it. And then that night, when I was home by myself, actually, it was at my son and daughter-in-law's house, I wanted to write an email and tell all of our friends, people who knew her, what had happened and that she had passed away. And this is going to sound weird, I know, but it's like somebody else took my finger and wrote those words.
Oh.
I use words that I don't normally use, and everybody thought it was pretty neat stuff that I wrote, and I don't think I wrote it by myself,
to be honest with you. Bob. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. All right, well, we want to thank you all for listening to Gen X, Y, and I.